Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week this week. We've been fighting and fighting and fighting. We have continued to fight this battle, and we will continue to fight here in Barron County, Michigan. The Sheriff's Department have molested more than 25 women, and not one of them has been arrested. The county board commissioners have turned their back on these women. These are white women. Each and every one of them are white. And it's unfortunate that the people refuse to take a stand. We live in a time where if you law enforcement, you can kill at any time. You can kill at will. And it's always justifiable homicide. We had a young man, Martell Hadley, who they found hung in his cell. They never reported that he was tasered. He was tasered by the sheriff's department. During the second autopsy, we discovered that he had been tasered. No charges brought. They ruled his death suicide, which we know that this young man did not commit suicide. We are living in a time. We are living in a time where we are going to have to step up to the plate. We are going to have to change the way we do business. We are going to have to take this thing to a whole different level, because in order for someone to understand exactly what's happening, they have to be out there. You have to protect your children and your children's children. We have to continue to fight for what is right. We got too many people, too many sellouts. I call them bootlickers. Anytime that you take a dime from these corporations for any reason to sell out your people, we got a problem. We got a major problem. We had one guy here named Seawood. He thought he was above the law because he was a sellout. He was a bootlicker. He was supported by Whirlpool Corporation. And he actually thought that he would not go to jail. When they don't need you anymore, they will cut your throat. And this is what they did. Leonard Seawood, he thought he was above the law. He was above. I remember when he testified in court, he was telling how many degrees he had. He had so many degrees it took him 5 minutes to tell the court how many degrees he had. He had a degree in this. He had a master's degree. He has a doctorate degree. And then the prosecutor asked him, "You have all those degrees and you didn't read your contract?" He knew exactly what he was doing. He thought that the corporation, Whirlpool Corporation, will continue to support him. This is just the way it is. This is a message for all my brothers and sisters that's out there who are willing to take a dime to sell out your people, our children, to miseducate our children. The school system is so bad here. But the seed was planted over 20 years ago. And now it's blossoming. These kids today, they can't even spell. Because they don't want to educate our children. We got to take control of our community and start educating our children. We got to do it. And since now I have the biggest church in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And I'm happy to say this. The biggest church in Benton Harbor, Michigan, with a school. And we're going to be teaching people to become electricians, plumbers, carpenters, bricklayers, pipe fitters. We're going to teach people how to do hair, how to cut hair. We're going to go into gardening because now I believe that you got to start growing your own food. And we're going to do it all straight from the church. And also, May 26, 2018, at City Hall at 11 o'clock, we're going to have a mass demonstration to save our children. Also, we're going to talk about we want to make sure that people understand how important it is. How important it is to stand together, fight together. Because we can win. And if we don't get our act together, they're coming after us. You can't even drive on the road without being harassed by the police now. Nobody's talking about it. We got to get out here and take care of our business. And I want everybody who can come, May 26th, in Benton Harbor, Michigan, at City Hall, 200 Wall Street, 200 Wall Street, at 11 a.m., I want you to be there. Will you come? Will you come? We need to learn to fight together, stand together, talking about who you can't work with. Stop it. Sets up division. Who you don't like. Sets up division. I can't work with this person because they're too tall. I can't work with this person because he's too short. It's always something we can't work together. But I'm going to pull it together. That's why I go all over the country speaking. And I tell it just like it is. I don't sugarcoat it. And I deal with facts. On that note, I got to bring in my Hebrew brother. All the way from California. My guy came to visit me here in Benton Harbor from California, and I visited him out in California also. He's my brother. I love him. And let me bring in my good friend, my Hebrew brother. Are you there, my brother?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. How you doing? My name is Brother Malak. How's everybody doing out there today? All praise to the Most High.
And I'm so glad you said Brother Malak because you always accuse me of messing your name up. And you know that ain't
right. And I was waiting for you to say it, and he just said, my brother. So
Yeah. I like to identify you as my brother, you know, because we're so connected. You know what I'm saying?
That's so, right.
My brother Malak, you know it. Yeah.
For sure.
I got you covered. I'm just happy to be able to communicate with you. The last time you was on our show, I probably got maybe 30, 40 calls in reference to you, and people want to know who you was, and I tell them, well, you know, I don't give out that information unless my brother tells me that he's willing. But people was definitely was very interested in what you were saying, and I don't really know what you got for me today, but I know you got something for me, and let's have it. Tell this audience. And, mm-hmm. and look, and we got to hold on before you get started. We got a full house, and usually we always be up in the thousands and thousands, but today I guess that, you know, this is your day, so you need to talk to us. Talk to me right now.
All praises. Well, first of all, man, it's never a problem with sharing my information with anybody. That's our whole goal, is to be an outreach to our people so we can get a full understanding of what the Bible is saying and who the true people of God are. My name is Brother Malak. I'm from Los Angeles, California. We have a website called CaliforniaHebrews.com, and you can get in contact with us there. We also have a magazine out called QYM-Mag, which that's MAG.com, and you can purchase our magazine. It's called QYM, and it shows like all of the Hebrews all over the world that's waking up and their businesses and just everything. It's beautiful. But so if you would like to purchase that, all praises to the Most High. So last week we was talking about are we just going to give a brief description of what happened last week, and we also got Brother Kanakia on the phone too. This is my my number two guy in our congregation.
Hey, my brother. Right. Hey, my brother. All right, all right.
Going on, Pastor Pigman. Shalom, shalom.
Hey. Oh, hey, my brother. Hey, it's going down. That's all I can tell you. And we ain't taking no prisoners. Because we can't afford to feed them. So that's how it goes. Let's go. Let's have it.
All right. So last week, we went over Deuteronomy chapter 28. And Deuteronomy 28, chapter 28, it's in the past, but it's something that happened in the past that brought us where we are today. And it actually identifies who we are as a people, because something happened back in the past which we broke the commandments of the Most High. The Most High chose us. He said, I want you to bring the command. I'm going to give the commandments to you, and you're supposed to bring it to the world. So our job was to show the whole world how to serve the Most High. But when we fell, the whole world fell. So the Most High put us under a punishment. A lot of people don't understand that the things that we as so-called black people go through today, we're being punished by the Most High. And the reason why we're being punished is because we won't keep his commandments. We broke his commandments back in the day, and we still won't keep his commandments to this very day. And that's what we're going to go. So we're not going to go into Deuteronomy 28. Y'all going to have to go back to part one if you missed it last week. Well, mm-hmm. That was 2 weeks ago, Brother Pinkney?
That was 2 weeks ago, my brother.
Okay, 2 weeks ago. Okay, mm-hmm. So now what we're going to do is we're going to show you how society knows who we are. And they are putting up things, and they have structured things to where we're all still being disobedient to the Most High, right? So, Pastor Pinkney, I want to do a little – you got a Bible with you?
No, I don't, not right now.
Okay. All right, well, I want everybody that's listening right now to get an NIV. That's the Bible that most of the people get right now because they think it's an easier book to read, right? So when you get this book, right, it's about to get deep. I wish Pinkney had a book. If he had a book, it'll really just show y'all. Like, man, you ain't got no Bible around your house, Pinkney?
Listen, you just take care of your business. That's all you need to do.
All right.
Don't worry about what the Rev got. The Rev got it up tight. I'm trying to make sure that everybody understand who you are. That's who I am. They already know who I am.
All right. Okay, so basically what I was going to do was I was going to tell Pinkney to go to Matthew, the 17, verse 21, right? So if you got your NIV, go there right now. So when you go to Matthew 17, 21, guess what? It's not in the Bible. It was removed out of the Bible. You can go to Matthew 18 and 11. It is removed out of the Bible. You can go to Matthew 21, 44. It is removed out of the Bible. You can go to Matthew 23:14. It is removed out of the Bible. Now, why is all these scriptures being removed out of the NIV? Okay, remember, if we're the chosen people, that means that the whole Bible has changed now, because now you are the main characters in the book, and their main goal is to make sure that you don't keep the commandments so they can keep ruling, right? Okay, so now in the NIV, it's over 64,000 words that have been deleted out of the Bible. And this is the first Bible that we pick up. this is the Bible that a lot of our pastors have not did extensive study on before they gave it to the congregation, but this is the one that a lot of us are using, and we're not getting the full impact of the Bible, right? Okay, so their main goal is for us not to keep the commandments. So, Kanakia, let's go to 1 John 2 and 3.
1 John 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
So the Bible says if we know the Most High, if we keep his commandments, read.
He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Okay, so if you say that you love the Most High, and you're not keeping his commandments, the Bible says you're a liar, and the truth ain't in you. Read.
But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of the Most High perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning.
Okay, so that's very powerful. That's very powerful right there. So he said, I'm not writing a new commandment unto you. These are the old commandments from the beginning, right? So what he means by that, like when we got Christ, right, and he came and he said it's only two commandments to fulfill the whole law, Christ was still talking about the old commandments in the beginning. So that's proved that. Let's go to Romans 13 and 8. And the only reason why I'm bringing this out is because we as a people, understanding that we are the children of the Most High, we got to understand where the problem is with us connecting with the Father the way that we need to. It's been 400 years, and we're not moving as a nation the way we should. It's something that we're doing wrong, and what we're doing wrong is we're not following the commandments the way that the Most High wants us to. Not the way we want to do it, not the way your pastor wants you to do it, the way that the Most High wants you to do it. So he said, there is no new commandment. This is the commandments from the beginning. So what did he mean by that? Now, we have love thy neighbor as thyself, love the Most High with all your heart. What does this mean? Is this something new that the Most High, that Christ is talking about? Let's read that.
Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Y'all should not what?
Commit adultery.
Okay, you ain't going to commit adultery. Ain't that commandments from the beginning? Read.
Thou shalt not kill.
Okay.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Okay, so this love thy neighbor as thyself is comprehended, meaning all of those commandments.
That's
right? So remember, it's a brief description of all those commandments. It's not just I want to just hug on you, I want to love on you, I want to kiss you, and you're loving your neighbor as yourself. You still remember Moses came down with two tables of stone. One was how you love the Most High. The other one was how you love your neighbor as thyself, and how you love your neighbor as thyself. You ain't going to kill, you ain't going to steal, you ain't going to bear false witness, and so on and so on. So that's what that means. Okay, so with this being said, this is just to bring understanding and awareness to our people out there that we got to start opening up our eyes to the Bible. We're getting closer to the end, right? We see the wars starting to happen. We're seeing the fish dying in the sea. We're seeing the birds dropping, right? All of this is happening is because the Most High has a prophecy that's going to take place that you, so-called Hebrew Israelites, chosen people of the Most High, by blood, will start waking up and returning to the Father and start keeping his commandments. And when we start keeping his commandments, He's going to redeem us from the four corners of the earth. It's going to be a gathering, just like when we came out of the Egypt, just like when we came out of Babylon, right? And this Exodus is going to be so great that it's going to be nothing like it. They're going to be like, man, how did they get rid of all these blacks, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans? How did he get all of those people out of there like that? And so this is what's about to happen. And so this is why it's important to understand these things. So we're going to go over a little bit more. This is about to get deep. Now, we got to understand what is sin, right? So that's the question, what is sin? Some people say you ain't got to keep no commandments because we're in a new covenant, right? The new covenant says we ain't got to keep no commandments no more, right? But what does people go to hell for? People go to hell for not keeping commandments, right? If there was no sin, that means everybody going to the kingdom, right? Even the devil,
man,
Charles Manson, everybody going because there is no law, right? Now we got to understand what Paul's talking about, but let's go to 1 John 3 and 4.
First John, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
Sin is transgression of the law, right? Now, what does Paul mean when he say that the law is done away with, right? What law is done away with? This is where we as, and I'm really talking to the ministers today, because you really got to understand that we got to preach this gospel right. And if you didn't understand it at this time, please open up your ears to what you're about to hear today, because this is the truth. Okay, so now what did Paul mean when he said that the law is done away with? We just read in 1 John 2 and 3, if you ain't keeping no commandments, you a liar, right? We just read that in Romans 13 and 8, that love thy neighbor as thyself is still the commandments from the beginning, right? So what was Paul saying when he said that he's going to take away the law? Okay, now remember, we have before Christ and we have after Christ. So before Christ, we had Levites, we had a temple, and we had a death of the law, right? So if somebody died, somebody committed a sin worthy of death, they would get stoned and hanged on a tree, right? Okay, so this is going to get deep. Okay, so now let's go to Romans 8 and 2. This is going to get deep, Pastor Pigney. Get ready. Hold your horses.
Take me there. Take me there. Hey, you know who I am. Take me.
That's right. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Uh-oh. Okay, so Christ have made us free from what?
The law of sin and death.
The law of sin and death. So we got to understand what's the law of sin and death. So I'm going to take you on a little journey. Now, remember, the Bible says that for us to get understanding of the word, we have to do precept for precept to get an understanding, right? So let's go to Galatians chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start at verse 8.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 reads, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed.
Okay, so let's stop right there. In thee all nations shall be blessed. He said, in the gospel of Abraham, he said, in thee shall all nations be blessed. But remember, we got to do precepts to understand what Paul is talking about. So let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 25.
Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which the Most High made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed.
Okay, so he said, in his seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So in the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the earth was going to be blessed through these people. This is what he's telling you, right? So now let's go to Genesis 20:28-12. Pastor Pinckney, get ready. This is going to be deep.
All right. Well, hey, but look, you only got 7 more minutes, so get it done in 7 minutes, big fella.
All right, let's do it.
Genesis 28:12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of the Most High ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Most High stood above it and said, I am the Most High God of Abraham, my father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
All right, so all the nations of the earth was going to be blessed all the way back with Jacob, right? So this was a promise from Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob that his seed would be blessed. So I'm going to speed it up because we ain't got that much time. So now in verse 10, back at Galatians chapter 3, he said, For as many that are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the works of the law to do them. So if you didn't keep the law to the fullest extent, there was a curse that went forth, right? Okay, so what was this curse? Let's go to verse 13. He said, for Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What did he mean by us being hanged on a tree? So I'm going to just give you a brief synopsis of this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 21:21. And this is basically saying right here that if we get stoned and hung on a tree, right? They used to stone us and hang us on a tree. So Christ has redeemed us from this curse that we don't have to be stoned and hanged on a tree. So with all of this being said, the Most High is commanding us to come back. We are his children. We are his people. The Most High wants us to come back, keep his commandments, and if we keep his commandments, he's going to redeem us. This is what's going to make Christ come back. We have systems designed for us to stop, not keep the commandments. We're not keeping everybody not keeping the Sabbath. They thinking the Sabbath day is done away with. When Hebrews chapter 4 tells you that if Christ had given you a new day, he would have told you that he gave you a new day. So we got to start keeping the commandments to the fullest of what the Most High is asking us to do, and then that's what's going to bring Christ back. We have all these wars taking place right now. They can shoot a missile over here at any time, but through the prophecies of the Most High, he said the children of Israel are going to walk through fire without getting burned. And this is without us understanding who we are, we can't understand the prophecies that is about to take place. So I'm going to stop it right there because I know he told me only has a couple of minutes left. So
yes,
praise to the Most High, Pinckney.
Well, let me say this to you, my brother. Appreciate y'all because I know this is an education and, people need to heed this. I mean, when we last time we talked about Deuteronomy 28, which is very important to me, and it gave me a whole new outlook on things that was going on. But I got to move on. I wish I just had more time because I got so many people on the line. But I got to get them in here because if I don't, they're going to be calling me all kind of names. So,
no problem, man. We appreciate you having us on.
Rocks and everything. But I you know how I feel about you, my brother. You would always have time with me. You're my brother, and I love you. And listen, we'll talk soon.
All right, brother.
All right now, and was my brother, and we got to move on. But hey, he was there. And now I got to bring on my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, my girl, my girl, Belinda Brown. Belinda Brown, are you there?
Hey, Pastor Pickney. I was really enjoying those guys. Those are your brothers, and I'm here to tell you, them brothers is on point.
Yeah, them my Hebrew brothers, you know. I got my own Hebrew hat. Me and Dorothy, we got, you know, they gave us our own. And when we was out in when I was out in California, Dorothy wasn't with me. I visited them out there and also spoke with them. They, you know, and they came here. They came here and went to Reverend Brown Church and broke up the church, and they wanted to give me an award. And I wasn't even on the program, and it shook up Ben Hopper. Shook Ben Hopper, because that would never be what it was, because them Hebrew boys were something else. I mean, they you know, they don't take no prisoners, you know. And bro,
that's all right, but you talking about Ebenezer? I know that was a shock to them, wasn't it?
And look, and they had a pack house too. They had that guy from Detroit. Lock him there. Your good friend Marcus Muhammad was there, and and so it was so the Hebrew boys came in like gangbusters, ran from the program.
They bust the move. They bust the move on them and flipped up. They changed their religious program. That's, you know, that's what needs to take place sometime, Reverend Pickney.
Oh, absolutely. You said the magic word, girl. I tell you, we just rocking and rolling and rocking down here. Hey, May 15th, we're going to have our open house school. But we're going to start our electrician classes. If you got any relatives that's in Benton Harbor that between the age of 18 and 30, I'll make room for him to get into the class. Any relative, if male or female, don't make a difference. Because we're not going to discriminate against women. We're going to make sure that they also have a position if they want to be a part of it. But, you know, the class is going to be every Tuesday and Thursday from 5:30 to about 8 o'clock. And we're moving, Belinda. I've been over at the church all morning, and I had to get back here and get started with the show. But tell me, what's going on down there in Slidell? Talk to me. I miss you, Belinda.
I miss you, Pastor Pickney. You be watching your mailbox or your bank account, because we got something for you. And also, you know, some of my family is still there in Benton Harbor. I'm definitely going to let my nephew know about the program. And my brother lives there now, so I'm gonna be in touch with him. Anybody, my oldest brother Ronnie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell him to come and see you. I'm gonna have my daughter bring him over there to see you. Passion. But Pastor Pickney, it's been a lot going on. That's why I was really enjoying the Hebrew brothers talking about. You know, it come a time in our life where we cannot continue to keep on doing the same old, and expecting, different results. And we've been doing this stuff for over 200 years or 2,000 years, I know over 200 with the Civil Rights Movement, and, over 2,000 years since, Jesus Christ came on the scene, and we just people right now, they are so hungry for the truth. And what's happening in our country right now, Pastor Pickney, we see all the writing, all the signs that's on the wall that something is seriously wrong. We cannot keep on beating this dead horse and going down this same old dry road and nothing, with nothing in return, okay? And that's what the bottom line is, So my thing is right now, Pastor Pickney, is to empower the people, educate the people, get the people, the knowledge that they need, and then put a demand on it. It's time to put a demand on the truth, the real truth. I mean, the hard, cold truth, the truth that people don't want to hear, and that is the unity. Power is in unity. The power is in the unity, Pastor Pickney, until we all come together, okay? Bottom line, okay, then That's where the power lies. And when you see somebody doing something like you, no, you know. When you see somebody doing something like you, Pastor Pinckney, then it's time for people to unify, organize, mobilize, get in and support the work that you're doing because it is so great. It is so great, Pastor Pinckney, and I really want to let you know how much we appreciate what you're doing there in Benton Harbor, you know, making national news, okay? And I'm looking forward to this protest, the rally coming up. I want you to,
hey,
you know,
I
want you
to PGA. You know,
yes,
it's,
right.
Remember, Belinda, it started with you and I down here.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes, Pastor.
So, you know, so we rolling. I'm going to be speaking in Detroit next week and Flint the following week, and I'm going to let people know what they need to do to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right,
and,
Pastor.
And after June, everything will be clear, and I'm coming down to see you. Yeah, we're coming down.
What
do
you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, we plan on coming down. We plan on shaking up Slidell, you know, Slidell, Louisiana. So my
well,
goal
I'm here
is
to
that.
We slaying giants down here. We slaying giants. We slaying them. Pastor Pinckney, I mean, left and right, we're knocking them out. We totally eradicating them and for them never ever to be seen again, okay? That's what's happening down here in Louisiana because the people is on the cutting edge down here that they saying we're not going to tolerate, you know, the injustice. We're not going to tolerate, you know, being in the back of the bus because we refuse to go back. We're not going back, and we're knocking down everything that's trying to stop us and block us. We're kicking down doors, and we're going to take what's rightfully ours. We're not going to wait for nobody to give it to us. We're going to take it, Pastor Pinckney.
Amen. You know what? And I believe that, Belinda. The work you're doing is so tremendous. And I really appreciate you just taking a stand. I love to see people stand up and fight for what's right, you know, because it's really not about you, Belinda. It's not about me. It's about the future of our children. And that's where
Absolutely.
We have dropped the ball. We dropped the ball. We allowed them to do what you know about the Benton Harbor school system. This stuff happened over 20 years ago that's happening today. And now what we got, you know, we got kids that's graduating, thinking they're going to college, can't even read.
Right, Pastor.
Yeah. And they think it's okay. That's the problem I have. They think it's all right. You got people, black folks, who walk around here thinking that the school system is okay. The school system haven't been okay in over 20 years. So how are you going to all of a sudden think that the school system is okay? Absolutely not. And I'm not going to stand for it because these kids are the ones who are going to be robbing you next. So we got to get ourselves together and start moving to a whole different level. Listen, Belinda, you got about 2 minutes, and I got to move on to my good friend Shonda out of Chicago. So tell us what you want people to know.
Well, I know that you're fired up, Pastor Pinckney, and you know, our slogan down here, fired up and ready to work, and I know that that's a great work that you're doing there in Benton Harbor. I'm excited about it, and I wanna let you know that I have been reaching out to people. We want to do everything within our power to support the great work that you're doing there, Pastor Pinckney, and we are so very much looking forward to you coming down here to be with us and help us, you know, put some of these giants to rest because, once we show them these signs, wonders, and miracles that's taking place, you know, everybody going, I mean, that's when the light going to hit the darkness and the flesh going to hit the fire and everything that's not right going to get out the way.
All right. That's what I'm talking about, Belinda Brown. And look, here's the good news. We ain't taking no prisoners because we can't afford
to
feed them.
No,
that's right. And if
back,
we have to, we're going to shoot the wounded because we ain't carrying no dead weight with us because it's going
right,
down.
We got some ditches, and I'm here to tell you we got stones in the bottom of the ditches and dirt to go on top of them, Pastor Pinckney.
Hey,
and then we're going
to
put some shells over that. So ain't nothing going to be resurrected from this.
Amen, Belinda Brown,
okay.
You are right there on point. And listen, tell the family I say hello. Let them know I love them. And let them know that, hey, it's going down. That's all I got to say. All right,
all right,
girl.
Pastor. Next time we can talk a little bit about Austin Sterling and what's happening here in Baton Rouge in regards to that. I know we got cut off the other day, but I'm looking forward to sharing and maybe getting some people on the phone line with you to talk about that situation and how we can move forward to help these families that suffer from that.
Absolutely, because I was just in Detroit week before last, and they had a austerity conference, and I was one of the keynote speakers, so I got a chance to talk about it. But next week, let's do it.
All right, Pastor Pinckney. All right. Okay, now, thank you.
We'll talk soon. All right. That was my good friend Belinda Brown from Slidell, Louisiana. Now I got to bring in my girl from Chicago. Girl, been knowing over 40 years. That's my girl, Shonda Parks. Are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am. Peace and love. And thank you, Edward, Pastor Pinckney. I have to now I'm going to call you that, Pastor Pinckney, because I think it's very fitting with all of the work and the time and energy that you have put into the works of liberation. And I want to thank you for that.
Oh, well, you know what, Shonda, one thing I always do, you know, I stay focused. I don't get sidetracked on the big – see, I'm looking at the big picture here. That's what I'm looking at. And this is something that, you know, I'm just glad that you are aboard, because we need warriors like you. I know that you are a real true soldier and a warrior. And, hey, so tell us something about you. Tell us what you want to do or what you're trying to do or what you need to do. Just tell us, because we can help you. We can put you on the line. We got a full house, and every week I have a full house, and people are all over. Everybody want to be on the Pinckney show. And but Shonda, you got an open door. Anytime you want to come on, you are welcome.
Well, I appreciate that. Tell you a little bit about myself. I've kind of been around the revolutionary movement now for over 30 years. My oldest daughter is 30. And coming through the Nation of Islam, by the way of the New Black Panther Party, by the way of the Morris Science Temple of America, the Pan-African Movement, and doing some things on my own with my own company and development called the Seed Dropper Nation. And through coming through all of those doors, one of the things that I realize is that the mother is not lifted. And of all those doors that I've gone through, I think even the troubles that I had always had was that the rhetoric did not live up to the treatment that females received. So because of that, I have now been moved to be a revolutionary toward the upliftment and the rise of motherhood. And I have a question that I would like to ask you before I go forward, Edward, is that Pastor Pinckney, is that have motherhood paid off?
Have motherhood paid off? I would say yes. I said being a mother, but I think now we have to start teaching our young women how to be mothers now, because I think the thing that has happened is that women have started having babies at such a young age, and when they start having babies at a young age, most likely they haven't been taught to actually to be a mother or know how to be a mother. And then you have these same babies that's having babies at 15 and 16. They become grandmothers, possibly at 30. So they can't even teach their child how to be a real mother. So I would say,
that doesn't sound like we've had a good payoff, because
no.
The generations have demised. And so that's why I said, to me, the mother is the matter of the situation. So what I bring to the revolution is that we have to look to the future. Sure, the past is there. But one thing about looking backwards is that you cannot walk a straight line. And the quickest way to get to a point is to a straight line. Anyone who has a mind that went through some kind of understanding knows that. So that's why I say that it has to be the female that has to stand up for motherhood, because it's in the womb of the mother that you create the environment for the mind of the child. So it's easy to educate than it is to re-educate someone. So I'm saying that we have to add a new dynamic, because now if you start looking at over the 100 years, well, we are not raising up children or people ourselves that are alive and awake enough to carry us to the next level. Right now, the mothers, myself included, I don't exclude myself, we have to rise because we are the first teachers. So if we're the first teachers, then we have to look at the educational process that we put in our children and be perfectly honest with some self-analyzation as to who we are. Secondly, we have allowed ourselves for our children to be educated by someone else. I'll take an example. You said education 30 years ago, but let's go back to Head Start. Because the Head Start program was not a program that was put in place for us to become caught up, so they said. But in fact, the Head Start program was a place to come into people's homes, and they did. And they did bring the female out and put her in some kind of training program, and they did. And so, therefore, you brought the mother out the house and the child out the house, but now you separated them. And so if you have someone that is teaching your baby, and the mothers, we have done that. We have allowed somebody else to teach our baby. And, yes, there are so many circumstances that are around that, and I know I don't have time to talk about them today, but I would love to talk about them more in depth about some of the circumstances, and that is it all our responsibility? No, it's not, because it takes mother and father. The young man was talking about the law. I want to come back and just touch on some things that he said. He was talking about the honor, but what I did not hear was to honor the mother and the father, that your days would be longer. So perhaps there's a problem in how we are honoring one another. See, because if you honor your mother and your father, then you will see in your upbringing that everybody is a mama and a father, whether they have a child or not, because we all grow to be that. That's what it is. So it always should be honor in the land, because if you understand the overall aspect of the mother and the father, which encompass everything that exists on this planet right now. So that's something that we have to build on, because if the mother is not where she needs to be and the father is not where he needs to be, then there is no family. Family is first government. If the government in your house is not running, then God damn it, you ain't got no government outside, because the laws start within. If you have no laws within your house, if the mother has not set the boundaries and the bylaws of the laws of the house, what time you move, what time you wake up, what time you clean, what time you work, then that means that you have no laws. And guess what? We become a lawless people. And so what I'm saying is that in order for us to build our families, in order for us to build our institutions, and you only can teach through institutions, so thank you, Pastor Pinckney, for putting together institution, because that is where you lay down the foundation of what you want people to do. And we know that work because we send ourselves and our children to educational institutions that have dumbed us down, made us all bottom feeders of the whole world. Everybody feeds off the backs of blacks, and the mothers are the number one ones that they feed off of her back, starting from her very head all the way down to her goddamn toes. And this is the truth. That's why I say we got to talk to the mothers. We need a new system. We need a new harmony. We need a new paradigm. And those are things I want to bring today about self-analyzing, because we are in a state of emergency, and we have to bring that back to the mother so that she can be a better payoff for the next 100 years. Thank you, Pastor.
Very good. But let me ask you a question. How do you feel about, well, I'm not saying your children, but let's say black children being taught by everybody but their own? I have an issue with that. I think that we're the only race of people who allow other people to educate our children. And that's another reason why we're in this compromising position today. tell me, talk to me a little bit about that. I got a few minutes
okay.
for you. And then
Okay, well, look, well, let's go back then. Let's go on back then, and we're going to go back to the 1940s, and who taught? We were called colored people then. When we were called colored people taught colored children. And we had the most educated people in the United States at that time. So that just small period of time that we taught until we did to integrate it. Once we integrated, then no longer was colored people teaching colored children. So integration, we have to go back and analyze some of that happened. So here's the problem that we have today. When you have someone that is educating your precious child, and you know how hard it is, if y'all seen a child be potty trained, you know it's hard. So imagine that somebody who does not have the best emotional intentions towards your child, who is teaching your children, that doesn't understand your language, your culture, your emotional state, that has no invested interest in you except a reserved tender note. If that's their only interest, which seems to be that, and it's not necessarily the teachers have gone through the same educational program, but this educational program has a different teaching for every race and nationality, creed of people that go there. So if we want our children to be successful in anything, we got to bring them back to our bosoms, and we have to teach them ourselves. It is an idiot who think that their enemy will teach their children to take him over or even to become his friend and equal. That's never going to happen.
Right, and that's you hit the nail right on the head, girl, and I really appreciate you. I got to move on. Listen, I think I got a spot for you next week. Let's see what we can do. Let's talk during the week.
All right, then. Well, thank you, and peace and love to everyone. It was an honor to be aboard.
Hey, thank you, Shawnee. You did a great job. Appreciate
just
you.
Just before I go, please go to my Facebook page. You can follow me as Shonda M. Parks, ShondaMParks on Facebook. Thank you.
All right, good job. Talk to you soon. Hey, now we got to bring in my good friend, also from Chicago, Mr. the one and only Robert McKay. Robert McKay, are you there? Talk to me.
Tell me if that's Ping D. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well, my brother. I can hear you well.
Oh, good. Now, I was listening to these young folk teach, and starting from the Hebrew brothers. I mean, we're in the land, still in the land of our captivity. And when you have been taken out of your natural element and brought in with new diet, new practices, new cultures, all of this has to be relearned because we're not speaking our language, number one. And when these Hebrews come on and they're giving it to us in this English dialect that we need to understand and begin to reverse our plight. We are placed in this position. It talks about it in Deuteronomy, but they let us know in Genesis that we will be in the land, a strange land. Our seed will be in a strange land for 400 years, and those 400 years are coming to a close here. 2019 will be So when we, and then the sister who just got off, I mean, all of these elements must be reinstituted into our souls, into our spirit. Because you're taken away for as long as we have been, and it's in the scriptures. I mean, they talk about not abiding by the laws, but it's in the scriptures that we will return in after 400 years. So I look at how, you know, everyone's arguing about this Starbucks issue in Philadelphia, and here in Chicago, we've had over 600, close to 700 shootings since January 1st. I think that's more critical than two people being arrested at Starbucks. But, I mean, it's all inclusive. I'm not belittling that or taking that out of the realm because it's all inclusive because who's targeted? No one but our people. So we, in every sense, whether we're being shot down, the brother who was shot 32 times, and this is mass murder. I mean, we separate these these issues. We look at a person being shot in Philadelphia, a man being hung in the jail there in Benton Harbor, or found in the river, castrated, and they investigate there was no foul play. I mean, all of these are Sandra Bland down
Robert,
in Texas.
Robert, let me say this too. You know, you just said something that's truly, truly important, because, you know, Starbucks is one issue, but it's just not one thing. It's everything. See, we have to get our thoughts together and decide how we're going to come together. See, the biggest weapon and the greatest weapon that we have is unity. That is what we don't have. If we can develop it, some of these, all these shootings and killing by these police officers will not happen, because they know that the people will come together and fight back. We do not fight. We fight each other. That's what we do. We get mad at each other over anything. He stepped on my foot. I don't like the shoes you got on. I don't like the way you look. I don't like this. We always don't like something. We always find a reason not to do something rather than a reason to do it. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the way we act. And one thing Shana said that got me, motherhood. And we're going to start teaching. We're going to start teaching in our community. We're going to start teaching these women how to be mothers, how to act like mothers. So that way that, you know, we got to stop losing generations of our children. And, you know, I'm sorry to bust in, because I know you got something to say. But I'm excited. Well, every week I'm excited. But I feel so good about everything. And we got to keep moving.
Well, I know that you're coming close to the end with your hour's about up, but one of the things I was going to suggest is that in your program that you're starting over there in Benton Harbor, perhaps you can do an orientation and call it familyhood. We're bringing back love in the community, and we're starting with each home in our communities, because that's where the ruins are. It starts in the homes, and it has to spread out. Like they say, charity begins at home and then spreads abroad. So if you can have an orientation class, everyone in here, introduce yourselves. We're gonna start a familyhood program. We're a family, and let's spread this out. You know, no more drug use, no more shooting each other, because we know that all these shootings are not being done in our community. They're being done by off-duty cops who come out and practice. They go on safaris when they leave those police stations and shoot people, and then they say, well, there's a drive-by. Who's the drive-by? So that's who's doing it. So we need to start a familyhood program. You can call it orientation in your program. Before we start anything else, before we move forward, we're going to get to know each other and love each other.
Absolutely. And what you're saying is so true. And we got to get smarter, too, because we got to understand, you know, even some of those killings that going on in Chicago, which is my hometown, they got mercenaries. They got people. They got paid assassins that's joined these gangs. And then you was also reading on the internet where they had dropped a whole crates and crates of them AK-47s and all these kind of arsenals that they have. But that's why you have to police your own community and stop all this bull. We got to show – ain't no such thing as no territory. This is my territory. No this is the family. This is the family.
Right.
You're my brother.
There you go.
You're my brother.
There
you're
you
my
go.
Sister. And this is the language that we want to institute into not only into my community, but every community in this country is my community, because that's how I feel. And, you know, I'm always excited to get things done. I want to go forward. I want to teach people how we can live together and love each other. You see, we're so busy trying to find a reason not to love each other than having a reason to love each other. And we got to change that. We got to, we don't have to do it for ourselves. Let's do it for our children. You see, motherhood. Let's stand with that, you know. And I got my Hebrew brother, and we're going to do what we need to do. But, Robert, you got about 90 seconds. Say whatever your heart desire, and we're going to continue this conversation.
Well, I'll just add on to what you just stated, and I'll restate that needs to be an orientation coming into the programs. This is what we're going to start to do. Once you, this is reaching out. Each one will teach one. Each one will reach out and help the other. This is what we're going to do. We're going to work together to rebuild our communities from how it's been destroyed. You know, we see who's benefited from the so-called civil rights era. You know, these politicians elected to office. We're worst off. I think there were 1,000 elected officials when Dr. King was going across the country. Now we have over 10,000 across the country, and we're in worse conditions. These mega churches that have ballooned up through our communities have grown, and the communities surrounding them have gone down in smoke. So we need to re-educate, and any of these people who have benefited, reach out to them and tell them, you have benefited, either you get off the pot or do something else. Don't come back to us, because we will not stand for this.
Well, the thing is, we have to make them give back to the community. Everything should be given back to the community, like even these athletes. Now, here's the thing. They know that they can use a 501c and give that them tax back into put back into our community. We need health centers. We need supermarkets. We need gas stations. We need better schools. We need all these things. And you have the money to do it. Why give that money to the federal government when you can give it right back in this community? And I had a discussion with a young man. He said, "Well, LeBron James is doing it." Yeah, but they're targeting his money to go a certain way rather than to go directly into the community where you can help folks. We need health care. We need health centers. We need things that's going to heal us from the inside. Because right now we're sick on the inside. We got to change the way we do business. And we can do it. On that note, Robert, I got to say thank you for being on the show. I want to thank all my guests, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We staying busy, and hey, we can finish this conversation next week. Same time, same station. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. God keep you.